It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that they may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. May God add his blessing to this word.
Thank you, Don, for reading the Word of God for us today. If you have your Bibles or if you have your electronic devices, you want to turn to that and follow along. Don read almost the entire letter of 3 John. And so if you want to reflect on that, we'll take a look at that here in a minute. Let me ask you a couple questions. It's Father's Day. What are we teaching the next generation? Regardless of your position in your family, whether you're married or single, whether you have children or not, what are you sharing with the kids of your community? They're learning something from you. Moms, dads, what is the wisdom that you are extending to the next generation? I was reminded this week as I looked at this text that the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, is so true. I know that because when I worked at 21 Shell, the gas station that was the corner of the little community in which I lived, when I was working at 21 Shell with my brother, some interesting farm characters would come in, and we'd learn some things from them. Some of them were good, some of them were not so good. But we learned from them, and my brother, still when we get together from time to time, reminds me of what Glenn Smith told us when he'd come in for gas. You see, he was part of the whole community that was raising us. So what are we investing into our kids? It's a huge question. You cannot live in community without teaching those around you, and especially the next generation, something. You're teaching them whether you like it or not. Mentorship is an interesting thing because we talk about mentorship as it's all the good stuff you're giving to them. Do you realize you're giving them all the everything? Mentorship is a whole process in which they follow you. They emulate you. We just like to share just the good stuff. We share everything to the next generation. In fact, we hand the planet to them on our last day and say, here you go. We've left it for you. Sometimes we've left it for you is a good statement. Sometimes we've left it for you is a pretty bad statement. Let me suggest 10 things. 10 things to teach your children. Number one, that there's one life to live. This opportunity is the opportunity they have and they won't see it again. Number two, that there's two genders. Number three, that God is three persons, Trinity. There's four spiritual laws. God loves you and has a plan for your life. You're sinful and broken in ways, separated from God, so you cannot figure out that plan all by yourself. Number three, God provides a person, the person of Jesus Christ, that helps you work on that plan and figure that out. And accepting Him into your heart and your soul, receiving Him, perfects that plan over time. Let's teach our children that they have five senses that they'll understand the world through and how to manage those senses. That there's six things that God created before He rested. Let's teach them that there's seven wonders of their world for them to discover and take joy and delight in. Everyone's seven wonders will be different. Let's teach them the eight Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And so forth. Let's teach them the nine fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and so on. And let's teach them the Ten Commandments. Just a top 10 list that I kind of came up with that it's going to take my lifetime for my sons and those around me for me to do my best or even do what I can for them to learn those things. Last week when we considered 2 John, we looked at John's presentations of two vital, life-giving, powerful, dynamic fusion elements in our life. Those two things were love and truth. Sometimes we throw these words around, oh, I love you, I love this meal, I'm telling you the truth. Well, I hope you don't lie to me typically. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth now though, because we really don't want to live life being loving liars or having them part of our lives. It doesn't work. Life doesn't function when you have loving liars around you. They love you, but they don't tell you the truth. We also can't live life when we have hateful truth tellers in our life. All of us have experienced those people. They keep wanting to drill the truth into us. We just don't care anymore. Don't tell me the truth. I don't want to hear it from you because it's not mixed with love. You actually hate me. That's why you keep telling me the truth. These are powerful dynamics. In John 3, he goes on and he talks about two other things, but let me just share this. God exists and God loves you. God exists and God loves you. You are full of potential. Those four spiritual laws that we talked about earlier are powerful to me. I hope they are to you. That God's plan for me is still being perfected by Him with my yielding to Him, with my willingness, with my contribution. God's doing it. Love and truth. John continues to his, last week when we considered it, in 2 John, the epistle of 2 John, he's writing to two sisters. Sisters in the faith, sisters biologically, I'm not sure. He calls them his two sisters. He's writing to two women. This week, he writes to a man, Gaius. Writes and talks, extends his love for Gaius. And as he writes to Gaius, he's writing in the context of the messenger that God sent that John knew. He was in the inner circle. He was the Apostle John with Jesus. He walked with him. He talked with him. He knew him one-on-one. And he's saying that Jesus Christ came to teach us and to save us and to send us, to extend to us faith and joy. So as John considers this and he writes it to Gaius, as Don read for us, I just want to point out a couple of things. John writes it beautifully. Just consider verse 2. Dear friend, this is a beautiful letter. Dear friend, I pray that you'll enjoy good health and that all may go well with you. Well wishes. He's praying for them that they will have a successful life, that they'll have a good life, that they'll be healthy. A couple weeks ago, isn't that what we talked about? We want to actually pray for good health. We don't want to pray when we're sick that we get better. We want to pray that we don't get sick. This is what John's praying. Even as your soul is getting along well. And as John continues through the letter, he talks about his joy. He says, it gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth. Where's the great joy from? I had great joy when I found out that you're faithful to the truth. Telling how you continue to walk in it. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear of my children walking in the truth. Why doesn't he say, I have no greater joy than to hear of my children doing well in life and getting a PhD? Why doesn't he say, I have no greater joy than to hear of my children having millions of dollars in their bank account? I have no greater joy than to hear my children becoming emperor of Rome. That's not what he says. I have no greater joy than to hear of my children being faithful and walking in the truth. And their soul progressing. You see, that third part of what he says there is interesting. I pray that you'll enjoy good health. Who among us doesn't want to have good health? I pray that things would go well with you. Successful. Enjoy life. And number three, in verse 2, that your soul is getting along well. That's an incredibly powerful statement. I don't even know how to define it. How does your soul get along well? Well, John says, it has something to do with faithfulness and joy. As you're faithful to God's truth and love, your soul is getting along well, walking in the truth, in community, that your soul is progressing. How is your soul progressing? If you had to give it a letter grade compared to a year ago, the old Methodist question, what's the state of your soul? That's a powerful question to me. I'm not sure how to evaluate that, but internally I kind of know when I'm not doing so well. Good question. But on this Father's Day and into next Sunday, in which we seek to help our children craft what church, what community, what the community of God is like, how do we teach them? How do we teach the core values that we talk about in dedication Sundays? Remember those dedication Sundays? In which we say something like this. Deuteronomy 6:5-7 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and teach the laws to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You see, Moses doesn't write and say, talk about these things when you go up to the temple once a year. No, he actually says, live it. How do you live it? How do we live it better? How do we do this? How do we live out authenticity? How do we live out things that change us in that Deuteronomy statement, and we live it out and then teach it, not because we want to specifically teach these top 10 things, but because we're living it anyways and we just extend it to our children, to those around us. How do we do that? I'd love to hear your ideas, but let me just suggest top 10. 10 ways for us to do better, for us to kind of organize our life, for us to get habitual, so to speak, about doing these things well and to experience joy because of it. And I should give you this pre-statement. I'm not doing them perfectly, not doing them fully. Some of these things are great ideas that I want to do. So let me just share them with you. Number one, know the one Lord God and Savior in your own life. About authenticity. They will learn what you're about, not what you teach them. Remember the old statement? Don't do what I do, do what I say. And every kid's going, yeah, right. Of course I'll do what you do, because you're modeling it for me. Know the one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yourself learn it first, so you can be an example. His wisdom taught to us and lived out should be, I think, lived out by two mentors, at least. This is specifically for moms and dads. Both of you should be witnesses and examples and teachers for your children. I don't know if you're from a family or a background that says, I'll let mom do it. I'll let dad be the teacher. No. All of us know children that say, hey, dad was too hard on me, so I'm going to do what mom wants me to do. I got a text this week from my son wanting to skip some school. He already knew the answer from his mom. Both of you teach it. Two parents. Two mentors. You see someone that perhaps is a single parent, be their friend. Go and help them. Two people helping children out. Mom, dad, aunt, uncle, teacher, friend. Three times a day, pray to God and include your children in what they want to pray about. Morning, noon, night, breakfast, lunch, supper. Find three times a day. At least three times going to be with your kids. I was challenged by this about 5 years ago because I was asked, what do I pray at my mealtime? Well, you know, standard prayer. My dad taught me. person that was speaking said, why don't you get creative and ask your kids what they want to pray about and pray that. Whoa, how could I not see that for so many years? Number three times a day, pray, morning, noon, and night. Number four, determine how to teach them through the four phases of their life. Determine the best way to teach them. In infancy, in teen years, when they're young adults, and when they become parents. How do you continue to teach them and model life for them? You're going to be ahead of them all your life. Continue to model it. How do you do that? Five love languages. Gary Chapman writes a powerful book on expressing the five love languages and seeking to understand psychologically in people's lives what is their love language, what is the way that they feel love or understand love. And the five love languages, just briefly, you can pick up the book at the back and take it with you. It talks about the five love languages. And the five love languages are this: giving gifts. Some people just say, I know they love me because they give me a gift. Time spent with them. You know the dynamic whereby you say to your son or daughter, I've got 10 minutes for you, and they say, that's not love. Give me time. I need time. Third, acts of kindness. Fourth, words of encouragement. I remember the place where I was sitting in First Baptist Church Petrolia when my mom said, can I love you? I talked to her about that, and she said, I don't remember. She said, I don't even think it was instigated. I just looked at you, and I realized I love you, so I thought I'd tell you. I remember that. I remember the order that we were sitting at. I was sitting beside her. Fifth one, physical touch. Six times a year with your adult children, be in touch with them if you're not in touch with them more. Six times a year, make it special for them on their birthday, on Easter, on Mother's Day, on Father's Day, on Christmas and New Year's. What great opportunities to make sure on those days, whether you're a mom or dad or whoever you are in the relationship, find six times a year in which you specifically call them and say, happy birthday. I love you. Which you say, I know this is my Mother's Day, but you're the one that made me a mother. Connect with them at least six times a year, if not more. Forgive them 70 times seven times. Jesus said this, and it's a powerful thing to understand. Sometimes we think we'll get walked over or used. Do you realize when Jesus was saying that, in part what he was saying is that you take 70 times 7, that's 490. Are you supposed to count it out? No, you're not. You're supposed to just love them. But it's also a sense of perfect love. 70 times 7 is a perfect number. You're supposed to love people and forgive them a perfect amount of times. So one in some circumstances, you forgive them twice. And then you change the consequences. Jesus was not saying be walked on. Jesus was not saying just constantly go back to the same thing. He was saying love them, forgive them perfectly. Let God teach you how to do that. 8 months. Spend 8 months in service at your church. If you want to model a life of example to your children, why don't you just start here? Start here showing them how they can integrate. We've had just a month in which we've encouraged kids to come up and do the prelude. If we want them to be serving in a community whereby they're kept from loneliness and seeking God on their own, why don't we show them how to do church? As we will next week. Or as they'll show us next week, maybe. Have 9 lives when you love your children. Loving kindness. Just keep coming back. Does it have to be forgiveness? Oh yeah, you can just keep doing what you do to me? No. But just keep coming back. Ask for God for the power to do that. To restore the relationship, to take the steps that you need to reestablish that love, and take 10 minutes a day to read God's Word and let it deepen your life. I'm not talking opinion on God's Word. I'm not saying listen to someone or watch them on TV. Get a hold of this and read it for 10 minutes a day. All kinds of different guides and ways that you can do that. But I found no greater blessing in my life than to say, hey, Lord, you know I need to grow. You know I need to grow to help other people around me. I'm not sure where to start or what to do. But if I read this 10 minutes a day, will you show me and grow it in me so that it comes out and bless others? There's been no greater blessing than for me sometimes challenging the Lord and looking at the Word of God saying, God, I don't think there's anything in here. Genealogies, I don't think there's anything in here, God. And the Holy Spirit's saying, I dare you, just read it. Okay. Know the one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Live out the mentorship with two mentors. 3 times a day, pray with your children. Learn the 4 phases of life in terms of how to love them the best way through those phases. Learn the 5 love languages of how you love your love children. 6 times a year and be in touch with your children. Forgive them 70 times 7 times. Spend 8 months in active service in church. Have 9 lives in loving kindness towards your children. And take 10 minutes a day to read God's Word. That's a whole pile. Next week, as we think about having our kids express to us the joy of being in church, we learn from them as we teach them. There's a study that came out called Hemorrhaging Faith. You've heard about it. We've talked about it. There's a book. There's a, I think, one of the magazines at the back that talks about it. One, the number one thing it talks about is authenticity as you live out your life. They'll pick up what you're doing and they'll follow you. I want to encourage you to pursue love for those that follow you. Find ways to express to them, even if it seems like they don't respond to you at all. Keep loving them and keep praying for them.